stand-up historian. Those who tell stories rule society.
When I was at Findhorn, I met this extraordinary English tree expert who had devoted his life to saving trees. Just got back from Washington, lobbying to save the redwoods. He's 84 years old. He always travels with a backpack because he never knows where he's going to be tomorrow. And when I met him at Findhorn, he said to me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New York." He said, "Ah, New York, yes, that's a very interesting place. Do you know a lot of New Yorkers who keep talking about the fact that they want to leave but never do?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And he said, "Why do you think they don't leave?" I gave him different banal theories. He said, "Oh, I don't think it's that way at all." He said, "I think that New York is the new model for the new concentration camp, where the camp has been built by the inmates themselves, and the inmates are the guards, and they have this pride in this thing they've built. They've built their own prison, and so they exist in a state of schizophrenia, where they are both guards and prisoners, and as a result, they no longer have, having been lobotomized, the capacity to leave the prison they've made or to even see it as a prison." And then he went into his pocket and he took out a seed for a tree and he said, "This is a pine tree." He put it in my hand and he said, "Escape before it's too late."
Hello and welcome to Stand Up Historian. My name is Kurosh and I bring this podcast to you from beautiful Seattle, Washington. I have been absent for several months because I have to deal with some personal stuff in my life, but I am so happy to be back and bring this special podcast to you. It's a very special edition of my podcast because I had a very, very good conversation this morning, and I decided to bring that conversation to you all, and hopefully you enjoy this conversation. As always, I look forward to hear from you. Send me your feedbacks either via my website at standuphistorian.com, or I usually publish these podcasts on YouTube. Leave a comment there and I always check those comments. This morning I met with my sons after several months and we had a very good conversation. And what came up was about the nature of good and evil, what is going on in the world with wars and rumors of wars. And interestingly enough, as I'm recording this podcast, a new war has broken up in Middle East between Hamas, the Palestinian group, and Israel. Bloodshed on both sides and very, very unfortunate and sad events that are taking place in that part of the world, which I am from there. So without taking any sides on any of these conflicts, whether between Russia and Ukraine or Israelis and Palestinians or anything like that, the important thing to remember is we as humanity, we have lost our way. It seems like we cannot talk to each other anymore, and the only language we understand is language of war and weapons and sad, disturbing pictures of men, women, and children being slaughtered. Very unfortunate. So the conversation we had this morning was about who is doing all the evil on this planet. Before I get to that, let me start by saying to you and asking you, how do you feel if someone comes to you, calls your name and says, "Hey, Kurosh, you have a minute?" And I would say, "Sure, who are you?" He says, "I'll introduce myself to you. I just want to talk to you about something very important. You will find it very interesting." And actually, it's even more important than life and death. Okay? What is the problem? You are living in a prison. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? What are you saying? And the person says, listen, I want to explain this to you. Yes, you are a free man. You go where you want to go. You do what you want to do. But in fact, if you look closer, you find out that you are a prisoner. And I ask the person, if I'm curious, some people may say, oh, you are out of your mind. I don't have time for your nonsense. Just go away, get lost. Others may spend some time to talk to this person, and finally they say, okay, he's crazy. I'm not going to waste my time. But for the sake of this conversation for our podcast, let's assume that we continue our conversation and the person says, yes, you are a prison. It is a prison planet. You are on this planet. You cannot leave this planet. Yes, you build rockets, you build missiles, and you do all of those things, and you try to get out of the planet, but how many people actually left the planet? And where would you go? So you are in a prison. Everything in this prison is working against you. Those who run the prison, strangely enough, are also prisoners. So think about this scenario. There's a prison, but the jailers are the same as prisoners. It's a prison for your soul. Then the argument becomes whether you believe in a human soul. Do you have a soul? Do you believe in soul? Or you don't believe in soul? If you don't believe in soul, at this point you tell this person that, okay, I don't believe in soul. Everything you say is nonsense. Life on earth is just a materialistic life. Here is my body. I live here for so many years. I was born and I will grow old and I will die and return to the dust. I become stardust. That's where we have come from. There is no soul. Nothing will be left of me after my body is decomposed. But again, we say that, okay, I believe in a soul. Tell me more. Says, okay, great. Now that I have your ears, I want to explain it to you. Look at your body. Look at your feeble body. You get sick. There are so many diseases that you get on this prison. You get old. You cannot stand heat or cold if they exceed certain degrees. You cannot survive without eating or drinking or sleeping. Everything that is around you is trying to kill you. And when I say you, I mean your body, your physical body. Okay, what's the point? So the point is, you have a gift within you. And the fight all over the existence is for that gift. And I say, okay, what is that gift? The gift is what you call it, my soul. The gift is what God the Father, the ultimate creator of heaven and earth, gave you. But your body is not what he designed. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is getting too complex. What are you talking about? So there is a God that gave me the spirit, the soul, and there is another one that created my body. And I say, yeah, let me take you to what Gnostics teaching tell you. They say, Yaldabaoth, you can go back to my old podcast and you can find about him. Looked upon the heavens where the God the Father, the ultimate light, resides, and he saw a silhouette, a shadow of what God had called Adam, a man. He looked at it and he knew that the Father, the ultimate God, had created a new creature, and it was a man. What was specifically important about man is God had created angels prior to that, but what he didn't give them was the gift of love. When he created man, he gave him love. There are so many beautiful, amazingly composed Persian poems about the fact that in creation of man, God gave him the ultimate gift, the ultimate reason behind creation, which was love. And that's when angels started to become jealous that you gave him love. And you gave him this special position and a status to this new creature. And the rest of the story is a group of angels became envious and started a fight against the creator. But I'm not going to go there. Let's just stay with our story. Yaldabaoth, looking at man, he sees the look and he tried to create a man. He creates a man, he copies that, you know, just like this knockoff brands. You have a watch, you spend $50,000 for that, probably, if not more. And you can get a watch with the same brand for $50. So he created a $50 fake man and expected to move and be like the man that the ultimate God, the Almighty Father, had created. But it was not moving. This is exactly where the story of Frankenstein comes to mind, by Mary Shelley, when a man wants to bring his creation into life, but he doesn't have what it takes to bring a dead body into life. What's missing is life, is soul, and that is the essence of love. And with soul, love enters into your body, and love comes from its source, which is the Almighty God. So as Yaldabaoth, looking at this Frankenstein on the table, he's wondering why it's not moving. In that moment, God, Almighty God, he talks to Sophia to tell the Yaldabaoth to blow on the human, blow on your creation. And when he does that, the Almighty God infiltrates his creation and enters love into the heart of humanity. The spark of love gives the body its actual movements. It gives it life. So life comes from love. Without love, you are not alive. If you don't feel love in your heart, you are not alive. You are a Frankenstein. You could move, you could do things, but if you don't have love, you are not alive. You're a dead body moving. So the trouble is started by having this small essence of life, which is love. Yet the cornerstone of creation in this body that we reside in for so many years, to be able to live on this planet. What would you do with this love? How do you know that you have the love, you have the gift? Who would tell you? Today's world unquestionably is run by most evil people you could ever imagine. Hitler is like a kindergarten kid when you look at the leaders of most even Western countries. In the United States, we have an absolute corrupt system. They start wars, they sell forbidden weapons to different countries, and they promote wars, bloodshed, and killing of humanity, innocent humans. few days ago, there were talks that how many Ukrainians were killed in the war. And every single one of those people, it's a life that was cut short in wars. So never doubt that this world belongs to the evil one, the devil, the Yaldabaoth, or whatever it is. He needs this force. He needs this repetition of birth, living, death, return to birth, living, death, to prolong his existence. If you get out of this cycle, this vicious cycle, and understand that I have a gift, if I hang on to that gift, if I understand it, I have salvation. And salvation means I'll be out of this vicious cycle, I'll be out of this planet, and I'll be in what Jesus calls kingdom of heaven, where he promised. So let's go back to our conversation. The person comes and tells me that, hey, Kurosh, did you know that you're in a prison? And when I curiously ask him how, he explains this story to me and he says, okay, now you understand that you're in a prison. You think you go on the beach and enjoy the beach? No, the sun is destroying your skin. It could give you cancer. So anything that you do, you drive your car, you pollute the earth, anything you do is prelude to destruction. So this is a factory. This is a killing factory. You are born, raised, and then you die and you return. I'm here to tell you that you have a gift and I can get you out of this prison. He convinces me that this is a prison and I need to get out of it. And he says, just follow me and I tell you the secret. And I'm like, okay, what is it? Is there a series of steps that I need to take? Is there a map that I can use? Is there a specific places on this planet that I can get out of the planet without being caught? Because I'm a human. I'm thinking in terms of, remember the show a few years back, the prison brick? Maybe it's a case of prison brick. He says, it is a case of brick, prison brick, but it's slightly different. There's only one thing you need to do. And I said, just one thing. Okay, what is it? And he says, love and do as you will. And I say, what? Love? What do you mean? And he says, love one another. If someone came and slapped you on the left cheek, turn your right cheek and ask him to hit you there. He changes the paradigm completely and fundamentally and tells humanity that everything you've done is wrong, even that. You ask anybody off the street, what if someone slap you on the left cheek? Are you going to turn your right cheek? A very, very large majority of people would tell you that no. No, I'm going to slap them harder. But this teacher comes and tells you that you have to change your attitude towards each other, other humans. Love one another. And love will save you. You understand where you live. You understand that you don't belong here. Your body belongs here. That's why you have to go through life. That's why you commit sins. And he tells you that you cannot live a life without sins. I'm going to pay the cost of that sin. I'm going to pay for that. But all you have to do is love one another. When you love other humans, when you all love each other, slowly but surely, everything will change. You bring that spark out of you. Your soul becomes so huge, so humongous, that no evil can get into you. So now it seems like preaching to you Christianity. But no, as many of you know, that I was born Jewish. I did my due diligence to understand what Jesus' message was, knowing what Judaism says, living with Muslims, and all of that gave me the privilege to understand and to try to find out the truth. And truth is much simpler. And Jesus is not the only teacher that came and tried to save humanity. That's why they use the word save. Prior to that, you see Zoroaster was in ancient Persia. He says the same things. He says you have to talk the truth, think the truth, do good deeds, good thoughts, and good actions. Simple. Not a long list of do and don'ts. Not a long list of punishments for things that you do, for each action. No, none of that. Buddha was another teacher. He came and offered the same solution. He said, just do nothing. I strongly recommend, if you're listening to this podcast, go watch a movie with Peter Sellers. It's called Being There. It's an amazing movie. And after you watch it, you understand what Buddha was talking about. Yes, it happens in New York City. But when you watch this story, you understand that all I need to do is nothing. Love one another. And once we love one another, we don't wish bad for one another. We don't harm each other. We help each other. And that's the essence of good. And once the good prevails, which needs a very small group to do that, the scale is tipped and the evil ends. And this cycle, this vicious cycle, ends. So our conversation was about why so much evil on the planet? Because they need to distract us. Because they need to pit us against each other, to kill each other. You look at Palestinians and Israelis, you go back to their roots, and you see for thousands of years they've been fighting, and in terms of genetics and everything else, they are mixed today. I have Palestinian friends, he looked 100% Jewish Israeli, and he said, no, I'm Palestinian. And he also added, Alhamdulillah, which means thank to God, I'm Palestinian. We are one humanity, and we have to stop. And then turn our attention towards those who call us animals. They call us bugs and parasites that destroy the planet. That's how they see us. That's why they plan to destroy us. The same people bring so-called technologies to control us. And their technologies, everything they do, destroys the planet. But they hide it. So they are blind. And remember, I have said this in many podcasts before. Evil has the seed of its own destruction. It contains the seed of its own destruction. Just because it's evil, it's condemned to destruction. It's just a matter of time. And I see the time. I see the huge awakening among the people. A lot of people understand that all I need to do is to stop participating in the system. If they want us to go line up and get vaccines, we just say, I don't participate in your scheme. If they rally the nations against another nations in wars, we just say, I am not going to be part of your parade. I'm not going to be part of your plan. I do not participate. My answer to you is no. Once we say that no, once we stop participating, paying attention, giving them consent by reading what they say, by watching what they say, by feeling, by thoughts, by wishes against one group or pro another group, That's how we participate. So, my friends, the solution to defeat evil is very simple. You don't need revolution, because revolutions always end up in bloodshed and more tyranny. All you need is love, and do not participate in what this world tells you, especially these world leaders, these monsters in human skin, they ask us to do. Because their way ends up in total destruction. It takes only one candle to light up the entire night. I hope that I was able to convey my message to you and tell you that don't be disheartened by seeing all the evil that's going on this planet. We have brought this to ourselves. It's the nature of this planet. It's the way it is on this planet. Good guys always, always finish last on this planet by the measurements of this world. Look inward. Look at the spark of love that he put in you. Bring it out. Share it with others. Do not participate. Say no. And we all will be saved. God bless you all, and thank you for listening.